Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Well, hello and welcome to and welcome back to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and as always, I thank you for spending some time here with Spark to explore, to discover some of those exciting strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that could indeed spark the change that you are wanting to make in your life as you choose to create the life that you desire and deserve. Tonight, we'll cover several different topics, but first, wanted to check in with what actions you had taken in the past week, if you're regular listeners to Spark, or since you listened to the past segment, whichever one that might have been. Have you taken an action on something that you heard? Did you go to a website, read an article, pick up a book? Or if you listened to last week's segment with Kelly Larson, who is finishing up her PhD, so I'll be able to say Dr. Kelly Larson, who is the director for the Center for the Study of Healing and Yoga. We talked about breathing into balance last week, and Kelly shared some wonderful strategies for how anyone can meditate, focusing on breathing, as well as some ways that anyone could benefit from the holistic health process of yoga, that it is much more than the poses that we often stereotype yoga to be, because that's what we've seen. So if you haven't listened to that interview with Kelly, I invite you to check out the archives and do so, either here at Blog Talk, or if you're accessing this on our website at brainbonanza.com or melaniehoffner.com, that you could check for, do a search for Kelly and check in with her. I have done some actions this past week around my breathing, both on the deep inhale, exhale, as well as an affirmation around that slow breathing. I also have a meditation process I do as I go to sleep from Dr. Luann Oakes, Sound Health, Sound Wealth. And then there's another piece from Sound Health, Sound Wealth that I play during the day, which it's amazingly energizing. It's instrumental. And I play it when I'm working, when I'm trying to write, get things done. So you can find Sound Health, Sound Wealth if you Google Luann Oakes, or Sound Health, Sound Wealth is Luann's website. I invite you to check that out. It's a great resource. And I apologize, even on allergy medications, I'm finding that in the last hour or so I've had coughing and I've got some issues going on. It is a very cool 57 degrees here in the Midwest. That's Fahrenheit for my listeners around the world who deal in Celsius. So 57 Fahrenheit, which is a little chilly for this time of year, especially at this hour of the day. It is late spring, and for many people, after we celebrate the Memorial Day holiday here in the United States, which was Monday, it becomes the thinking shift to summer. Even though technically we don't get to enjoy the summer solstice until June 21st. Excuse me, I needed to cough. Hold on. Oh, thank you for your patience. Guys, that was much easier than coughing in your ear. And unfortunately, with these recordings, I'm unable to edit those things out. So I thank you for your patience. So are you headed into your seasonal shift from spring to summer or fall to winter, depending on which hemisphere you're living in right now. And I'm excited to say I have listeners in both the northern and southern hemisphere, and that's exciting. If you'd asked me that when I was a high school student, I probably would not have guessed that I would have a radio show where I have listeners from around the world. Technology is such an amazing tool, and it affords us wonderful opportunities and access to people, cultures, information, resources. It also means we need to become more selective and more critical, not from the judgment standpoint, but critical and from the analysis standpoint, as to just because we read something, is it truly fact? Is it backed up by research or multiple sources? Because, yes, unfortunately, there are people who making money is the most important ambition for them, or some people who are so desperate to feed their families that they are choosing to do some things that are unethical. So do check the sources of your information and verify the information. So tonight, as I said, we're going to explore a variety, or today, whenever you're listening to this. For me, it's this evening, a variety of topics connected to some of the things that Kelly shared last week, as well as some of the topics that our guest next week, Mr. Robert Israelite, and Robert currently works with Credit Union National Association, and we'll talk a little bit about what he does there. We're going to focus on sustainability next week, questioning some of the processes that we follow personally and professionally and why, as well as he will share from his trip to Africa and the work that he was able to do there. And it's going to be an exciting conversation. And it's definitely a link because Kelly talked about sustainability last week. And with the recent Earth Day in April and focusing on our responsibility as global citizens, which is our topic for next week, sustainability is part of that. When we are looking to make changes, we want them to be sustainable changes. And when we're making choices about how we're using our resources and choices about the environment, we want it to be sustainable because it's nice if it'll help us for 50 years, but what about the 50 after that and the 100 after that? So can we begin thinking globally and generationally? And interestingly enough, it's, I believe, in synchronicity, and that information and resources and people are very timely in reconnecting and crossing paths. And I got a link to an article today that was in the New Yorker, and we're going to talk a little bit about that in connection to making changes in our lives. And it was from the Department of Science. The article is entitled "Don't: The Secret of Self-Control" by Jonah Lehrer, and it's May 18th, 2009. So we're going to talk a little bit about some interesting research around self-control. And for people who had taken college psychology courses, you probably know about the marshmallow study and delaying gratification. So we'll come back to that. And some of you are going, no, tell me now, don't make me wait. That's part of the topic of the article. So we will come back to the idea of delaying gratification. But first, though, let's think a little bit about when we try to make changes in our lives and how sometimes we're very excited about learning something new and trying something new, and we go back into our environments, into our processes, and we get frustrated with trying to sustain the change, the energy, the motivation around whatever new thought process, new action, new habit we want to develop, and the environmental pressures pull us back towards our comfort zone of doing what we've always done. And we know that, you know, if when you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. Poor grammar, I realize. you know, and I believe it's a Chinese definition of insanity that says when you keep doing the same thing and expecting different results. If we want to change the results, we need to change the action leading to those results. And so one of my objectives with Spark is to share with listeners, with you, things that you may not be aware of, tools, people, strategies, because awareness leads to choice. And it's hard to choose something that you don't know exists. And because there's so much information out there and so many different places we can go, it's nice to have a source for that information. Excuse me, coughing again. Thank you for your patience. And so with having someone that we trust, sources that we trust, and I encourage you when you hear something at Spark, if you have questions, to send an email to brainbonanza@gmail.com, or if you become a friend at here at Blog Talk Radio, or just become a member so that you can mark your favorite shows and invite guests, or excuse me, send emails and comments. And I know that we have a number of regular listeners, and I so appreciate your loyalty. And I encourage you to rate the shows, to invite friends to listen to segments. They are indeed all archived. And so I encourage you to check them out if you're new to Spark and you enjoy what you hear. Some weeks it's just me, like tonight. The next two, for sure, we have guests lined up, and we're working on several other people for June. And so I invite you back. And the nice thing about it is because it's archived, you can download the MP3s if you're unable to join us live. And if you have questions, guests are always giving contact information. Or if for some reason it's not there, you can always send an email to me and I'll help you connect with those experts, those people who can give you additional information. So be selective and find sources that you trust, and then trust yourself. Trust your intuition. Trust, and then those of you who are House fans know that he's having some battles at the end of the season between the logical and the intuitive sides of his mind, his thought processes. And in Western culture, too often we're taught to honor the logic and the linear and to be more dismissive with our intuitive thoughts, ideas, the sense that something's wrong or the sense that something's right. And we do need both hemispheres of our brain to function at our best and to make the best decisions. So honor that in yourself as well. So when you hear a new strategy and you know you want to try to do something new, think about whether or not your current process, your current environment might support that change, or if there are some challenges that may be in your current system that may make the change more challenging. And is it something that you have control over that you can change or not? Sometimes you do have flexibility in changing your daily schedule, starting your day a little bit earlier or being up a little bit later, depending on when your, quote, prime time or best thinking time is. It's important to get good sleep. You've heard me say that before. It's not only good for the brain and anchoring new memories, or a process called neural fixing or gluing happens when we're sleeping. So that's important. It also recharges our immune system. So do take care and get sleep. Sometimes, though, our schedule gets in the way of us adding if we want to add a new exercise routine, for example. Or let's say that you wanted to put in a meditation after listening to Kelly. Figuring out where in your schedule that could go. And sometimes it's easier if it's a routine because then we get into the habit and it becomes we can do it on autopilot, basically, that it becomes automatic, and therefore we don't have to think about whether we're in the mood to meditate or not, or do we really want to exercise or not today. It becomes automatic, like I need to feed my children today, or go to my job, or things that we really don't debate about, we just do. We have breakfast in the morning. We don't think about it. We just do it. So if you can find a time that works best, and if not, if your schedule is such that it's somewhat unpredictable, then it just becomes wherever it fits that day. And if it doesn't get in before bed, it's the last thing you do before bed. Although it is a great way to start a day as well, thinking about, you know, doing a meditation, focusing on your deep breathing, visualizations about what it is you want to create in your life as if it's already happening for you. You're living that movie, as Mike Dooley says. And Mike's website is tut.com. Mike also writes Notes from the Universe, which is Monday through Friday, I believe, email to you as if it's written from the universe. Interesting thoughts. Mike believes that thoughts become things. Very simple. Thoughts become things. And what do you find yourself thinking? Are you thinking thoughts that are supportive, that are allies? Or are you thinking thoughts that are more like adversaries? And we really want to get away from what Dr. Daniel Amen calls AMPs, the automatic negative thoughts that just keep coming back and coming back and coming back. So you need to learn how to stop those AMPs and replace them with what we really want, is we want positive automatic thoughts. And John Astroff talks about those. I'm not sure the terms are the same, but it's the same idea that you really want to have some automatic positives that come into your thinking process during the day. And often those ants have become quite pervasive. If you've ever had an ant issue in your home or business, you know that it can be very challenging to get rid of them, especially in a way that's non-toxic. But you can do some things. Coffee grounds, used coffee grounds around our home last year solved our ant problem because they were coming in, coming up the wall, I believe, on the outside. So you can find non-toxic sources. And the nice thing about the internet is that you can use a search engine like Google and find a variety of possible options. So we're not limited by the books we have in our own library or our own home or only the knowledge of what grandma or grandpa did, that we do have access to much more information faster than we have before. So we can make more informed choices. And sometimes, you know what, it's easier to check with an expert about what they're doing that's working well and getting that personal recommendation for what's working well. And so knowing that you have access to lots of information, and there are some wonderful tools, whether it's audio, CDs, or MP3s. Nightingale Conant is a great source of, I've been using CD sets from Nightingale Conant for a number of years. And you can Google nightingaleconant.com. I'm not sure of the website off the top of my head, but this brain fog from the allergy medicine is indeed frustrating. And it's one of the side effects that's between the breathing and not sneezing and coughing and having a little slower thinking process. It's given me a new appreciation for people who are experiencing adjustments as either related to age or illness or medication and looking at needing to get some new strategies. But back to Nightingale Conant. You can Google Nightingale. I think it's nightingale.com. That you can find some wonderful CD sets. That's where I found Luann Oakes' Sound Health, Sound Wealth. And since then, I've been to her website as well. So do some exploring of some support for how to replace those thoughts. Now, Jack Canfield, oh my gosh, has it really been, wow, 25 years ago, I think, when I first began reading Jack Canfield's work, his book Self-Esteem in the Classroom, my background's in education, and then his How to Raise Self-Esteem, How to Have High Self-Esteem. And it was there that I first heard him talk about the strategy called cancel. And what happens is when you have that automatic negative thought that comes up, you acknowledge that, and then you cancel it. And cancel simply means that you can use any word you want. You can use delete, and then replace it after you've canceled it with a positive statement. So, for example, if you find yourself saying, oh, I'm always late, well, that's more of an adversarial than alliance kind of statement. And so you'd want to cancel and replace it with, I can be on time. Because the truth is, you can. The truth is, I can. And so stating in the present tense, I am on time, it gives you some cognitive dissonance, is the term for when we have a belief that's different than what's happening in the real world. And our reticular activating system, what I call our RAS, our RAS in our brain, wants to have congruence between our beliefs and what's happening in the real world. And so when we use present tense language as if it's happening right now, it kicks our reticular activating system into gear, and it searches for ways to make that happen. So if you find those automatic negative thoughts, you can use Jack's strategy of cancel, talk to the hand, something like that, and replace it with the way that you desire things to be as if they're happening right now. It's a great strategy that you could choose. And this is long before Jack's work with Chicken Soup for the Soul and the Success Principles. He's been working with self-esteem. He was an educator as well when he started his career and is very committed to helping people to become successful. So when we've got a new strategy, we've got a change that we'd like to make, it does help to sustain the change if you also look in your environment for what might be barriers, and also look at what might support you. And you probably have relationships with people in your life who could be supportive. If you can engage your family, and I think there's some commercials or advertisements on television in the United States about families exercising together. So you're actually changing the system of your family to include exercise or reading or family game night, whatever that is, because then you build in support into the system. And so that can be a strategy to use as well. And if you find that you are in relationships that are acting as adversaries who are unsupportive, if you can choose to spend less time invested in those relationships and more time invested in relationships with a coach, with a mentor, with a supportive friend who can both be supportive and help you be accountable to the changes that you're trying to make, you'll increase your chances for success, your chances to sustain the change over the long term. So you were waiting for information about the article called Don't, The Secret of Self-Control by Joan Lehrer. So we'll talk a little bit about that marshmallow study that was done in the late 1960s. My background is in psychology, biology, and education, and so I learned about it in my undergraduate work in psychology, as well as we probably covered it in some of my graduate work in counseling as well. And the article is talking about the research that was done in the 60s where they put children one at a time in a room and they could choose a treat from a tray that had marshmallows, cookies, pretzels. And the article begins with the story of Carolyn Weiss, who was then 4 years old, and this was at Bing Nursery School at Stanford University. And Carolyn chose a marshmallow from the tray. And so then the researcher made the children and Carolyn an offer. They could either eat one of whatever item they chose right away, or if they were willing to wait while he stepped out for a few minutes, they could have two of the item when they returned. And a lot of kids chose marshmallows. I think that's why it became known as the marshmallow study. Now, the researcher also added that if the child rang the bell on the desk while he was out of the room, he would come running back and they could eat the marshmallow but would forfeit their second marshmallow. And then the researcher left the room. And, of course, the children demonstrated a variety of behaviors. And Carolyn, who is now a psychology professor herself, says she has no direct memory of the experiment, but she suspects she was able to wait because she's always been very good at waiting. Whether it's a challenge or a task, she'll find a way to do it even if it means that she has to wait and not eat her favorite food. And her mother agrees. But her older brother, who also took part in the experiment, was not as good at waiting. He was a year older, so he would have been 5. And he still recalls the torment of trying to wait. And I can relate because this is something that we're working to teach our son, Alex, right now. Because whenever he wants something, we talk about waiting. He's like, oh, I can't wait that long. Doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 months. He just can't wait. And so we're working on helping him learn some strategies and cognitive, we'll talk a little bit in the article too, some mental processes to help delay the strategy or delay gratification. Now, Craig said that at a certain point it occurred to me that I was by myself. He said, so I just started taking all the candy. And then according to Craig, he was also tested with plastic toys. He could have a second one if he waited. He broke into the desk where he figured there'd be more toys, and he took everything he could, he says. I cleaned them out. After that, I noticed the teachers encouraged me not to go to the experiment room anymore. So some kids are very creative and didn't follow the rules and were unable to delay that gratification. And what the article talks about is the relationship between their ability to delay gratification when they were young children and their success as they got older, whether it was high school education or in adulthood. Some kids, as they were observed, would cover their eyes or they'd turn around and not look at it. Others would stroke the marshmallow as if it were a tiny stuffed animal. One boy looked around the room to make sure no one could see him, and then picked up an Oreo, twisted it apart, licked off the cream filling, and then put it back on the tray. With a satisfied look on his face. And most of the children were like Craig, struggling to resist, and they could wait for an average of less than 3 minutes. The Stanford professor of psychology in charge of the experiment, Walter Mischel, remembers a few kids ate the marshmallow right away, didn't even bother ringing the bell. Other kids stared at the marshmallow and then rang it 30 seconds later. And about a third of the children, however, were like Carolyn, successful in delaying their gratification until the researcher returned 15 minutes later. Now, when you're 4 years old, 15 minutes is a long time. And these kids found a way to resist the temptation. Now, initially, they were looking for ways to identify mental processes that allowed people to delay gratification while others surrendered. Excuse me. And then there was a period of time that passed, and Mischel did other research. However, he had 3 daughters of his own with whom he worked to design the experiment. And as they got older, he would ask about other children in his class, and they were also involved in the research, and asked how they were doing in school. And he began to notice there was a link between how those children were performing academically as teenagers and whether or not they could wait for that second marshmallow. And so he did some informal assessment, and once he saw the correlation, in 1981, he sent out a questionnaire to all the reachable parents, teachers, and academic advisors of those 653 subjects who had participated in the marshmallow task. And by then, they were in high school. And he asked about everything he could think of, from their ability to plan, think ahead, cope with problems, get along with peers, and he asked for their SAT college application scores, Scholastic Aptitude Test. It is one of the more widely used college admissions tests in the United States. And what Mitchell discovered analyzing those results was he saw that the low delayers, the children who couldn't wait, rang the bell quickly, seemed more likely to have behavioral problems at home and at school, lower SAT scores, struggled in stressful situations, had trouble paying attention, and found it difficult to maintain friendships. The child who could wait 15 minutes had an SAT score that was on average 210 points higher than that of the child who could wait only 30 seconds. So, and this article, by the way, if you would like the link, you could send an email to me at brainbonanza@gmail.com and ask for the marshmallow study link to the New Yorker. And I'll be happy to share that with you to read more. It's a 7-page article that I'm only sharing bits of tonight with you. Carolyn, as I said, she has her PhD in social psychology. She's a professor at Princeton. Oh, I'm sorry, she's an associate psychology professor at the University of Puget Sound. She got her PhD in Princeton. Her brother, Craig, who couldn't wait, moved to L.A. and spent his career doing, quote, all kinds of things, unquote, in the entertainment industry, mostly production, currently writing and producing a film. And his comment is, sure, I wish I'd been a more patient person, because looking back, there are definitely moments that would have helped me make better career choices and stuff. And they continue to track the subjects into their late 30s and found that the low-delaying adults, the ones who couldn't wait, had a significantly higher body mass index, more likely to have problems with drugs. But self-reports give limited information because sometimes people won't tell you everything. Sometimes they adjust the level that they report. And so in 2008, Mitchell and his team began asking the Bing subjects to come to Stanford for some experiments with the functional MRI machines. They could actually see what parts of the brain were involved. And they also had some additional tests. And what they're looking for is a neural circuitry for self-control, which could have impact with attention deficit, obsessive compulsive disorder, because attention and control seem to involve similar circuits in the brain. So, or similar parts of the brain, I should say. And so it's not just intelligence, which Mitchell says is largely at the mercy of self-control when it comes to success, because even the smartest kids still need to do their homework. The marshmallow test isn't measuring willpower or self-control. He says it's much more important because it forces kids to find a way to make the situation work for them. They want the second marshmallow, but the question is, how can they get it? They can't control the world. They can't control how they think about it. And that's Mitchell's quote. We can't control the world, but we can control how we think about it. And those of you who are regular listeners at Spark have heard a version of that since we went on the air in October of 07. So choose your stresses based on that. You can't control the events of the world, but we do control how we think about it, that we do have a first emotional response, and then we choose. And that helps to choose our stress. And by the way, there is a webinar recording of 1 hour Choose Your Stress session I did, and that's available at brainbonanza.com. So you're welcome to check that out. And so as we become more skilled in controlling our thinking, we become more successful. And so one of the current areas of research is if you teach kids how to think in order to have more self-control, to delay gratification, they are more successful. And the idea of it's metacognition is the name for thinking about thinking. And he cites that as what allows people to outsmart shortcomings. Every child craved that marshmallow or that treat. So how did some have self-control while others didn't? Mitchell's conclusion after hundreds of hours of observation was the strategic allocation of attention. Because instead of being obsessed with that marshmallow, what he referred to as the hot stimulus, the patient children, those who delayed gratification, distracted themselves. They put their attention somewhere else. They covered their eyes. They played hide-and-seek under the desk. They sang songs from Sesame Street. The desire wasn't defeated. It was merely forgotten. The attention was put somewhere else. If you focus, if you're thinking about the marshmallow and how delicious it is, Mitchell says you're going to eat it. The key is to avoid thinking about it in the first place. So helping children learn ways. Now, you know, those children who couldn't delay would often think the best way to resist it is just stare at it, keep an eye on that goal. Well, it's a terrible idea because you become obsessive about it and that's all you think about. And we also talk about not eating or not thinking about pink elephants. And as soon as you say do not think about pink elephants, your brain sees an image of pink elephants. Our brain has trouble processing negation that jumps the word not and visualizes whatever that is. So when you say I will not eat that marshmallow, what you're saying in essence your brain is I will eat that marshmallow. So his thinking about it's not really willpower, it's learning about focusing attention. He said, and this is what helps explain why this marshmallow test is a powerfully predictive test, because, quote, if you can deal with hot emotions, then you can study for the SAT instead of watching television, Mitchell says, and you can save money for retirement. It's not just about marshmallows. And other research by Mitchell and colleagues found those differences were observable in subjects as young as 19 months at how those toddlers responded when they were briefly separated from their mothers, where they immediately burst into tears, clung to the door, or there were some who were able to overcome their anxiety by distracting themselves, playing with toys. And they found when they did the marshmallow test at the age of 5 with those same children, those who had cried, wanted that immediate gratification, also struggled to resist the marshmallows. So now the question is whether or not there's a genetic origin around the ability to delay gratification, and that's another area of research that they'll be looking at. So recognizing that if we want to delay gratification, we need to think differently, distract the focus. You know, it's not about whether or not we want to eat the chocolate bar. Think about something else, which is why often people say drink a glass of water, go for a walk, do something else, because it may not be that you're really hungry for that chocolate bar. Or if you want to buy a new Star Wars Legos plane, and you can, if you get it now, you can buy a less expensive one, or you can save your money for a more expensive one. What are you focusing on? And that's one of the things we'll be working on with Alex over the summer is that the money that he earns, he can save, and he'll be closer to getting the expensive ship that he wants. So we're going to make it visual with a chart and a graph so we can actually see his progress getting closer and closer to the ship. And we'll put a picture of the ship, the one he really wants, at the end of those steps. So he can see how he progresses. Now, if he chooses to spend part of his money on something else, and then he'll drop down, it'll take him longer to get there. And so we can focus on other things rather than instead of looking at all these other ships that he might be able to get, we focus on how close he's getting to that one. And it's not an exact science. As parents, we all work with that in how we can help our children and how we can help ourselves delay gratification. Because there are a lot of things that tempt us right now, and things that we would like to have, but if we waited, if we put our attention on something else so that, well, you know, can't do that right now. So what can we do? Well, let's take a look. So we've got about 5 minutes left tonight. Hopefully you have heard some exciting strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that have helped you think about being able to sustain change in your life. Sorry, I had to cough again. Because often we're challenged by wanting to make a change, and, well, we haven't been able to do it before, so what's going to be different this time? And, you know, you're different than you were the last time you tried. You know things now you didn't know before. You've had life experiences that you didn't have then. And so you can approach things a little bit differently this time around. And so knowing that, you can make some different choices. You can look differently at the resources that are available. Maybe something that didn't work for you before might work for you this time. And so giving yourself an opportunity to try it, to take something that you've learned and take a look a little bit differently than what you've done before. So in our final few minutes, if you wanted to call in, or more often people will send an email to brainbonanza@gmail.com. And you're welcome to visit our website, brainbonanza.com, to learn more about different tools and different strategies that you might use to support yourself on the changes to create the life that you desire. And that might include, are you living your passions? Or did you put your dreams away temporarily? They're still there. And sometimes we focus on different things for a while, and it's okay to go back and look at those dreams again because they're still there. And I invite you to join us live if you'd like to ask questions directly for Robert about his experience in Africa, the volunteer work that he did while he was there, about processes, sustainability. We'll talk about monkeys and bananas and a research study around why sometimes processes are very challenging to change. So you could learn a new strategy next week as well. So I invite you to take action on something that you've heard tonight, whether it's cancel, or whether it's looking at the barriers, challenges, as well as supportive possibilities as you're looking to make a change, to take an action, to invite a friend to join us next week with Mr. Robert Israelite, because we'll talk about being a responsible global citizen with sustainability and living your dreams and doing what you love. As always, thank you so much for investing this time with me. I look forward to hearing from you, whether live or by email. Until next time, take an action on something you've learned. That's the challenge, so that you can move closer to living the life you truly desire and deserve. You can have even more success, even more joy than you have right now. So until next time, stay safe, and may you celebrate the gifts in every moment, the present. Until next time, stay safe.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day. Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Ms.